That's something we've been doing for several years now. We've gone a couple times to Honduras, a couple times to different places in Brazil, Houston, Texas, a couple times to Cayman Islands, and recently we went to Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll talk more about that here as we go. September 15th is our Mission Sunday, and there it's where we try in a one-time giving and or pledges to raise about half of our overall missions budget. And for September 15th, we're hoping to raise $155,000, like I said, in giving and or pledges. And part of that, a small part of that, but still a part of that, goes to help with these trips. We believe these trips to be important. And as I mentioned, we've been at them for a few years. So tonight, all those participating, with the exception of Scott, who's our song leader, were guys that went on the trip, were part of that 25 people, and we're going to be giving a summary and highlighting some things. And then at the end, I'll close out with the devotional thought and close out with some more things about the trip. So let's start with an opening prayer, Gus.
Our reading will be from the book of Matthew today, or tonight, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes it the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For you have loved those who love you, that reward, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only the ones, your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Thank you.
Is Kyle in the audience?
Always bring your order of worship. Always make sure you have that. Well, we were blessed to be able to go to the Phoenix, Arizona, and work with the Salt River Church there. And it was a grand adventure for the 25 of us to go. The day we landed, I want to say it was 114. The next day it got up to 118. But it was a dry heat, so it was okay. We survived. It wasn't too bad. We flew into Phoenix. There's the map of Phoenix. Our hotel was right about there. The church meets right here, and it's in a very nice strategic location. There is the Arizona State University nearby, Mesa Community College close by, and the Salt River Reservation. So the church being there at, called the Salt River Church of Christ, they are specifically trying to reach out to those on the Salt River Reservation. Here's a picture of their building. They are renting a place, and they were able to expand recently. Whatever was next door closed down, and so they were able to expand, and with us being there that first Sunday, it was completely full. And it was a great just encouragement to see that building all the way full. So our missionary that we support is named Evan Totticini. We've talked about him a lot, but I just wanted to give, for those maybe that are new, a little bit of background about him. After he became a Christian, Evan and his wife, they decided they wanted to move to Bear Valley to study and become ministers. And so Evan, through that connection at Bear Valley, he met Trey. And between them, they were able to coordinate with our missions committee. And so that's how we originally were able to support Evan. And so one of the great things about being able to travel to one of our missionaries, who's so close, only a two-hour flight, is we're able to really be connected with what they're doing. And so it was a blessing to see the work that Evan is doing and the work that his coworker, Josh Austin, you can't see him as well, but Josh grew up on the reservation. So he knew Evan from as they grew up together as kids. And so they have a great relationship, a great bond. And so they are a great team there at Salt River. Now, on the Saturday, that first day we were there, Mel and I taught a adult seminar on politics. And so we had a good crowd that came. There's Mel teaching. And we had probably about 70, I think, percent of the congregation, they said, attended that seminar. Now, I wasn't sure why they wanted to hear about politics. Mel and I were a little nervous about speaking about some of those things. We tried to keep it rather general for most of it, but kind of theological, see some of the things. And so it was a great time. They had some great questions. They were very interested in some of the things we had to say. As we were there and we were teaching the adults, they needed child care provided. And so for some of the teens and some of the other ladies, they provided child care for the kids. And so it was a great time that the adults were able to not have to worry about. None of the Salt River congregation had to worry about doing the child care. We were able to provide all of it. And so, like I said, it was very, very hot. And so in the afternoon, we took it off, we rested, and in that first evening, we went door knocking on the reservation. And so you can kind of see there's mountains in the background. It's kind of flat where we're at. It was really interesting to me. Phoenix is actually a little bit lower sea level-wise than Oklahoma City. With the mountains just there in the background, I wasn't really expecting that. And Phoenix, where we're at, is called the Valley of the Sun. And so where we stayed, it was relatively flat. So it kind of reminded us of Oklahoma, except you looked out in the distance, you could see mountains, which did not remind us of Oklahoma at all. And so we were able to go to the reservation, and we tried to door knock. We did this a couple times, and it was kind of interesting because some of parts of the reservation are set up just like any kind of neighborhood that you might see here in Oklahoma City. But then other parts of the reservation were more rural. And so there would be one house, a big cotton field, and then another house. And so some of the door knocking, we were able to walk from house to house and knock doors. But then other times, we needed to drive from house to house because one road might have three houses. And so we really enjoyed those efforts door knocking. I mean, I tried to remember to drink as much water as I could. And so it was a little warm, but we were able to do it. The next Sunday, we went to worship, and it was great worshiping with the congregation. We had 100 total attendance that Sunday. And so that church, even though it's in a part of the world or a part of the United States that Christianity isn't as big of a priority as it is here, they're a very healthy congregation, and they are growing, and they have a lot of exciting things going on. And so, of course, we had potlucks there that first Sunday night, which was probably my highlight of my trip, being able to go and eat some of the delicious food they prepared. That first night, they made Navajo tacos. So there's the fry bread. They were up there at 4 o'clock. I was taking a nap at 4 o'clock. They were up there at 4 o'clock at the building, kneading the dough, mixing all the ingredients. And then as we pulled up about 4:45, there they were with the fry bread. They had, you know, spun it out. They were frying it. And let me tell you, Tim's Drive-In has nothing on their Navajo tacos. Theirs were way better. So there's some of the meat they had. If you look on the right-hand side of the photo, that is an interesting color. That was goat stew, or mutton, as they called it. I'm not sure how many brave souls tried the mutton, but I think I did and Jimmy did, and we thought it was pretty good. And so we enjoyed being able to share food with them. That's one of the great things about being Christians, is you can go all over the world, and the hospitality is always great. And so that first Sunday night, we started our VBS. We did VBS Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we started each VBS with singing. So we got to teach some of the kids new songs. They taught us how to sing Jesus Loves Me in Navajo, and so that was a lot of fun being able to do some of the singing. We would also start each evening with a skit. And so Kevin would tell the story of Esther and demonstrate all the different things. Now, if you, after tonight, ask Gus how his back is doing, and I'm sure he'll have a story to tell about that with the skits. And so we would, just like VBS here, we would have class, we would have crafts. We would do all the kind of normal things. And so you can see as we advance through some of these slides, a lot of the kids are just having a great time. We didn't have as many kids as we were expecting, but for the congregation, we didn't have as many community kids, that is. For the congregation, 100% of families came to our VBS. They had every single kid at their congregation was here. And so it was a great opportunity for us to share and teach them some of the things. And so some of the things about Esther. And so it was a great time, even though we didn't have quite as much as kids as we expected, it was a good time to be able to serve in this way. And so, of course, we do t-shirts just like we do here. We would do pictures as well. It was kind of fun to try to bring all the things that we normally do here, bring them to Arizona. It was a little harder having to fit them all into our bags, but we were able to do that. Here's a picture of Faith. That's Evan's oldest daughter. She really knows how to pose for the camera, and so does Gus. We also would do Bible drills. So Caleb and Tucker, they were able to kind of lead the way on Bible drill, and we really got to, I think, break the kids out of their shell a little bit with some of the silly songs that they would sing, and so they had a really fun time doing that. Now, concurrently, as we were doing VBS with the kids, there was an adult Bible class going on. And so they had about 70, 80% of the congregation come to this adult Bible class. And the topic of the class was kind of raising up children, teaching about how to raise kids. And so Mel, Kevin, and Kenny taught that class. Now the interesting thing on Tuesday, Josh and Evan normally go to a rehabilitation facility and have a Bible study. And they said, well, we can't do that, because we have to be here for our adult Bible class seminar. And they said, well, how about you bring some of the people that we normally study the Bible with, how about you bring them to church and you can be a part of this Bible lesson? And so the kind of the organizers of the workers there at the rehab center, they said, yeah, let's do that. So they bust over about, I think, 10 or 12 or so, I think 12 maybe with the workers. And they came and they said it in class. Now, some of them weren't as happy to be there as others, but some were really engaged. One guy we talked with, Wade, he was keyed in. He was really excited to be there. And so they got to be part of the singing and the skit part, and then they stayed for the class as well. And so it was really great to be able to meet some of those guys. And so the next day, Wednesday, this was a guarantee or anything, they invited him, hey, come back again. Now, they normally have other things going on Wednesday night at the center, but they decided to bring those guys back. And a couple of the employees were like, we want to be there on Sunday because we want to be a part of this congregation with what you're doing. So that was really encouraging to see some of the work that they had been doing with those men. As I said, Kenny also taught in the adult seminar, but he's always the one taking the photos, and so we don't have a photo of him. So if you think Kenny just was a kind of a free rider there, not really doing anything, no, he was the one taking all the photos. We don't see all the work he was doing. Now, during the day, it was very, very warm, as I said, and so we tried to do a lot of service projects inside. And so here's Mel. He is cleaning their carpets for them. We moved everything to one side of the building, vacuumed, cleaned all the carpets, and moved it all back. We did some other various ghost busting, it looks like, there, but that's just vacuuming. We did some other things around organizing and kind of cleaning a few things that needed it. And they were so appreciative when they got there that evening after we were done with all that organization, after we were done with all the cleaning. They thought that was really nice and really helpful. Now, we go to these different places. We do a VBS. We do these service projects. But that's not really why we go. We really go to build relationships. I just want to show kind of two photos of a couple people that we built some relationships with. This first one is Alondro. Now, Alondro, he's been a Christian for less than a month, and yet he is already starting a singing group there with the church, trying to have like singing classes and just sing Christian songs, and he is really on fire for the Lord. It was really fun to get to know him and spend time with him and just be around a guy who's so on fire with the Lord. I think back to when you were a new Christian, you probably felt that same way, just really excited to work and to do the things that God wanted us to do. And of course, we had some little ones there as well. Jimmy really got to know Ellie and Faith. So Ellie is Evan's niece, and that was one of the cool things. So Evan, he had become a Christian, and I think only a few years ago, his wife's sister and his sister, or his brother, I think, have also come to Christ. And so I think both of Crystal's sisters and now some of his family, they've all come to Christ. And so it's great to be able to have families united in Christ. And that's really that was why we went there, was to help build those relationships. And one of the great things, we met another couple, Carol and Larry. There's lots of stories about them. But they've already friend requested many of us on Facebook. And so the great thing about what we have with some of this modern technology is that we can stay connected with some of our friends. So it was a great time that we could go, we could do a lot of work, but we could build some relationships in Christ. So there's kind of that last photo while we were there. There is us as kind of a group photo of everybody that went. And it was such a great experience that we could meet Christians. They don't look like us. Some of them don't think the same ways that we think, and yet we are united in Christ.
I was asked to read some from the lovely ladies who joined us on this mission trip. Our first one: I am in awe of the generosity of this church family. These mission trips could not happen without your kindness, prayers, and care. I have been on 4 mission trips, and the hardest thing is leaving the new family you just met and came to know in a short amount of time. I thank our Father in Heaven for my church family here at North Mac, who has supported me and allowed me to have this amazing experience. This year's mission trip to Arizona was my 6th mission trip and was definitely one I will never forget. This mission trip reminded me of why I go on these trips and how much I love them. I went to Arizona fully expecting to serve as much as I could to help grow the faith of others, but instead I came back with a faith stronger than I have ever had before. God is not only working in the lives of the people we have saved, but He is using those we have served to help us too. One thing that really touched my heart was while we were door knocking on the reservation, I met an elderly lady whose husband was completely bedridden and couldn't leave the house due to seizures. She just happened to be reading the flyer that the church had recently mailed out, and she had said she was really interested in a home Bible study. She used to belong to a church, but had long since parted ways with that church, and she just really felt like she needed a family, and more importantly, God in her life right now. Needless to say, I got her information, and by the time we had left, she was crying, and I was crying and hugging her. I just told her it was a God thing that I had knocked on her door.
A few years back, while I was teaching at OC, one of the assignments I had was for people to write a personal spiritual journey paper and then make 2 lists of things that influenced their faith for the positive and things that influenced their faith for the negative, because I was just curious. And the leading 2 answers on what influenced their faith for the positive was church camp and mission trips. And I believe that to be true. If you've ever gone to a church camp or a mission trip, you understand why that's the case. We spend all this time together serving. We spend this time together with a common purpose and enjoying each other and serving and learning and sharing. And as Caleb mentioned, interacting with people, and Kyle presented there several kind of the day-to-day of our trips. But we get to know each other better. The group that goes, you know, we sit across from each other and might have seen each other for years and maybe know a little bit, but then you're intensely with each other and you get to spend time and eat and serve, and it's just a wonderful opportunity. And I just have to thank several of the people here that went. I mean, I like to thank every single one of them. It's always such a positive group. It's such a positive group, and we have a very interesting mixture of folks. We have families and young professionals and teenagers, and some older folks like Gus went with us, so appreciate that. And it just makes for a really good time. Thank Kyle for helping me talk about faith in politics. I mean, I was starting to sweat when I was like, I don't know, do I come in with a hat that says make Israel great again or something? But Kyle really helped out, and I think that went really well. And Kevin and Kenny helped out with raising up a new generation, and they focused kind of on the idea of parenting, and I talked about a community of faith that's raising up a community of faith, and I think that was a really good combination. Kevin and Kristen really set up the mechanics of the VBS, and Kevin gets all the details. It's just, I mean, we couldn't do the VBS part without them. The ladies did a great job. Our children, I mean, I appreciate that we have families go. I really love these trips when I get to go with my children, Lucas and Aaliyah, that did a great job. Caleb, if you haven't seen Caleb and Tucker interact, I mean, they are just high energy. They do this, I mean, the kids just love them. They do a really good job, and we had a great young people go with us. And it's just these trips, and I appreciate the elders for believing in them. We do good things to where we go, but I think we come back blessed by the interactions we've had. Like I said, all the way from Honduras to Brazil to Cayman Islands to Phoenix, I mean, Houston, a great variety of efforts, and you see God working in ways that go beyond your circle of influence. You're like, God is doing a lot of great things throughout this world and in a lot of different people groups. So I appreciate the group that went and look forward to many more of these trips. I wanted to give you tonight kind of a summary of what we were trying to present there with the idea of politics. They asked us to do a seminar on Saturday. I was thrilled. Yeah, a 5-session seminar from 9 to 3. I thought, yeah, that'd be great. So I committed to it. I said, we'll love to help in any way possible. I was like, just send me, if you guys got a topic, send it to me. And sure enough, here comes that email, you know, faith in politics. And I tell you, I really started to have, nightmares. And then I was like, why? Why? What am I getting into? Like, what do you guys, why do you want to know about this? And Evan was saying, you know, it's a young congregation. The last political cycle, folks had strong emotions, strong feelings, believed deeply on certain issues, especially Native American community had a lot of things going on there, and they were very passionate and intense about it, and on social media and in private conversation, not always handled well. I thought, oh yeah, one more reason I stay off social media during election cycles. I mean, it just gets brutal. Just gets brutal. And so with kind of that backstory in mind, I thought, you know, one thing that came to mind was, well, surely this isn't the first time that we're having political tension, right? I mean, you don't have to know a lot about history. The times of Jesus was a mess. Israel had been ruled over for 600 years. Think about that. 600 years ruled over. And now the Romans are ruling over Israel. They are taxing them to an absurd amount. There's corruption, politics. Just even in the lifetime of Jesus, there were some attempts to free themselves, some little pockets of resistance and rebellion. Just beaten down, death, crucifixions, a mess. And on top of that, the religious political leaders of Israel are corrupt, horrible time. And Israel was not united on what would make Israel great again. I mean, literally, they were waiting to be made great again, longing for some time back in history. Maybe King David, King Solomon, where the kingdom was at its best. And there were several political groups. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, who were kind of trying to mass a scale rebellion. And it's eventually the voice that takes that becomes the loudest is them. And that's what will bring the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. There was the Sicarii, the Lestai, some more aggressive groups there, some even unto assassinations. And so there's this mess. Hot topics like the kingdom. That was a hot topic, the kingdom. And here comes Jesus talking about the kingdom. Folks were paying attention. He's like running a campaign. And there was all these other voices. And I mean, just picture it like that. He's gaining in popularity and just rising. And he's doing things that are beyond photo ops. And he's healing people and bringing betterment and talking about a kingdom that's unique and different. And then he comes to what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And in reality, it's really Matthew and Jesus calls it just the good news of the kingdom. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the good news of the kingdom. Jesus is claimed in Matthew to be God with us, which would have had all kinds of historical memories for the Jews and for Israel. And here's God with us. And surely God is with us to free us from the oppression of Rome. Surely God with us is going to talk about kingdom. And he did talk about kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus started then kind of what we call his public ministry. And his main slogan was not make Israel great again. Was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Okay, when you read in the Bible heaven and earth, don't think clouds and lump of rock. Think the world of God in this mess. So heaven and earth is two different existences. Is what God, where the world that God is and is trying to build and wants us to be, and this mess. And they don't match. They're not in harmony. They're so far apart. And what Jesus is saying, since I am God with you, God with us, I have brought the kingdom of heaven near. And Jesus is where those two kingdoms collide. You saw that picture of me going like this. I wasn't trying to strangle a politician. I had thoughts about that. But it's two worlds colliding in Jesus. Jesus is two worlds colliding. And thus bringing access to something better for you and I. Okay. Then in Matthew 5, he starts making a comparison about what Israel is living out and what the kingdom of heaven is really about, what God has always tried to promote, but Israel has failed. So he has this formula of, you have heard it said, but I tell you. And he does this on a few topics, all very hot topics of the time. And then he comes to this one that Jimmy read. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Let's pause there. Where would they have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? Some bumper sticker? Twitter. Where would they have gotten the notion of love your neighbor? It's the Old Testament. I know you, to the ones of you that woke up this morning thinking, I should read Leviticus. Let's go there. Leviticus 19. This is about 1,500 years prior. This was a raging debate. The idea of love was not new to what God was trying to do in Israel. So here in Leviticus is trying to tell the priests on helping Israel to be a priestly nation, an intercessing, a nation that's to intercede between God and the world. That's what Israel was called to be, a holy nation of priests. And Leviticus is kind of, how do we do that as a community? And so then chapter 19, say verse 15, you get things like, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among the people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your fellow Israelite in your heart, but rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. So all things, how do we live a community that's going to reflect God's presence unto the world. And then you get to verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. That kind of ruins community. But love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. Okay? So they're to love their neighbor. Wasn't there a question to Jesus, who's my neighbor? That was a raging question. Like, okay, yes, 1,500 years ago, we understand that we're to love our neighbor, but who does that include? Well, if you go back to Leviticus, it definitely includes Israel, your country, even the ones you don't seem to get along with. Right? United States, we all united. I'm not sure that's an accurate depiction of this. Are we all united? I can think of at least a couple different directions people go politically. Well, apparently you're to love those that you get along with and those that you do not, because they're all Americans, or in this case, all Israel. Now, Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Did you hear anything about hate your enemy here? I dare you go find a verse that says, hate your enemy, thus says the Lord. Now, you got a lot of examples of people hating their enemies, but that's the hate your enemy part was part of the concluding thought in the times of Jesus of what God wanted. Yes, love your own, of course. Maybe even those that you don't agree with, but they're still Israel. Love them. But you gotta hate your enemies like the Romans. Jewish collaborators with the Romans, like tax collectors. You gotta hate them. They're not promoting Israel. Well, even Leviticus goes further. Chapter 19, verse 33. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Why? For you were foreigners in Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. Oh, now that just opens a can of all kinds of things there, doesn't it? The foreigners. And that really, that brought some interesting questions afterwards. But so even Leviticus pushes it a little. Okay, you can't just, as a community that has the presence of God, you can't just love yourself. You can't just love your immediate family. You can't just love your extended family. You can't just love your own tribe, you know, those that think like you. You got to love your country. Now remember, who are we interacting with in the Salt River Church? Mostly Native Americans, 5 different tribes represented. There's all kinds of politics there, right? You can think of all kinds of issues that would have been relevant. And now we're kind of in this political cycle. Does that not bring even a bunch of other issues to the forefront? So you can't just, Leviticus says you got to love those that are Israel, but you don't agree with. Leviticus even goes further. You got to love those foreigners that are coming to be a part of your nation and treat them as if they are your own. And he repeats the phrase, love them as yourself. All right. Jesus just goes further. He says, but I tell you, what does that mean? I, as in God with you. God came to be with you to say to you, that's not enough. And to make it possible for you to love beyond your own. Or even beyond your own that you might not like. Jesus goes further, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for, the prayer isn't, God, may they burst in flames. It's a prayer of good things here. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? That you may be children of your Father in heaven. And then Jesus goes into weather patterns. Why? He says, if you're actually just paying attention how the weather works, you would know that God is a God who loves all. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Wouldn't that be fascinating? You come out of your front lawn, you know, a couple days ago we got some rain in Piedmont, which, thank you, Jesus. I mean, had some cracks in my front lawn like I was in the desert. I think we lost one of our cats in those cracks, but it started raining. Wouldn't it be fascinating? I come out of my front door and my house is getting rained on, and across the street it's not. It's 115 degrees there. And then I look down to the neighbor over. They don't even have sun at all. It's just pitch black. And then I look down the other side there, and it's just drizzling because they're not as wicked as the other neighbor. And I come out and it's just like, oh, God loves me. Is that how it works? No, it's not how it works. Why would God let good things come upon those that are not good people? Think about that. Sometimes people think, well, God's selective Israel and they're just them and everybody else is going to hell. And, you know, now, no. Israel was called to be a priestly nation. It's an intercessing, it's to intercede between God and a broken world. God is a generous God because that is what creates the opportunity for people to want to be better. Think of politics. Whatever you think is wrong, oh, those folks are hateful, so I'm going to hate them back. Oh, those folks are racist, so I'm going to be racist towards... Does that promote a solution? Does it? I play soccer all my life, and the bad guy at every soccer game is the referee. Nobody likes them. I mean, poor referee's mother. I mean, they nobody likes them. And I've been a referee. I have never, ever, ever seen a referee get cussed out. No, that I've seen a lot. Cussed out, you know, people throw stuff at them, say all kinds of things about their relatives. I have never seen a referee be like, you know what? Now that you've offended me, I think you got a good point. We're going this way now. That doesn't promote betterment. Love does. So think of the people you hate the most. Some party, political party, those people, these people. You gotta love them. You gotta love them. And then he comes down with this idea. Verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father's. Now Jesus just made it impossible. How are we gonna be perfect? I don't think he means perfect as you and I might be thinking about it. I think he means complete. Mature. You know what God is trying to bring us towards is this understanding of love. Be love. Love. You want to be like God. You want to be what God created us to be. Love. Yourself, yes. Your family, yes. Your immediate family. Start getting a little harder, right? The those that you agree with, yeah, okay. Then those that you disagree with but are still your people, yeah, I love them. Well, and then your enemies. Who's not being loved? What category of people got left out? And that's what we were talking about. This is a good summary of what we were trying to do there. Trying to say, what we were trying to do, what we were trying to interact. And I think that's what God is calling us to be. People of love. People of love. Now, we normally take the time, most of our gatherings, to have some kind of invitation. Now, you're welcome to come up front with any prayer request, or please do. But here's what I'm inviting you to do. I think it's what Jesus is inviting us to do. Who am I loving? How do I define my neighbor? How do you define your neighbor? We're in this political cycle. Oh, God help us, right? Let's remember this. Let's love others as God has loved us. Why don't you stand as we sing?
All things are ready.